It is to the influence of international finance that the relative stability of the Russian Revolution is due. Just as greater skill in carrying out successful revolutions has been acquired by experience since 1789, so also progress has been made in the art of maintaining the figureheads in power, in spite of the discontent of the majority of the people and the unceasing struggle against the laws of nature. Is such a thing as a Christian workers' republic possible? In order to answer, we must first turn to those who alone upon this earth have the right to speak for Christ the King, namely the Pope and the bishops. Now, they have told us that one cannot be a Catholic and a communist. Anyone who contradicts them does not speak in the name of Christ, but in that of Satan, though he may protest that he goes regularly to Mass. Secondly, applying the principles which, we have seen, lie at the base of the communist movement, we can readily see that the name of Christian Workers' Republic attempts to link together two ideas that are contradictory. The communism of Karl Marx is based on the pantheistic evolution of all natural powers under the supreme guidance of man's thoughts. Above man, for Marx, there is nothing. True Christianity means the sharing by man of God's own inner life of knowledge and love, communicated to man through the sacred humanity of Jesus, true God and true man. Above man, we, Catholics, believe there is God, and between God and man, there is the one mediator, Christ Jesus. Again, Marxian communism is a neo-messianic movement based on Jewish rejection of the Messiah who has come, and the workers are merely the tools by which Israel hopes to exercise world domination. Accordingly, a true Christian cannot be at home in that camp. Besides, Christianity is a religion of love, mercy, and compassion, while the Marxian type of atheism is not moved at all by pity. On the contrary, it is pitiless. In order to procure power and riches for the social collectivity, it proclaims ruthless cruelty towards men. There is no humanitarian element left in it. It comes from Feuerbach, but it goes one further than him and rejects his religion of humanity. It was not in the name of man that Marx raised the standard of revolt, but in the name of the mightiness of a new deity, the social collectivity. The complete triumph of the so-called Christian Workers' Republic can have no other result than the extermination of all those who believe in the divinity of Christ the King. No man can serve two masters. Of course, anyone, bishop, priest, or layman, who stands up for the integral rights of Christ the King will be got rid of, ostensibly, as an enemy of the Republic and a counter-revolutionary. And be it noted that ideas work themselves out in act, or rather men are spurred on to draw the final conclusions from the ideas they hold. Marxian Republicans cannot stop halfway and compromise with Catholicism. They must seek to exterminate its adherents and educate a new generation which will worship only matter, machinery, and Satan. A few extracts from W. Gurian's able work, from which we have already quoted, will confirm those statements. Quote, "The tyranny to which the Bolshevist doctrine of salvation leads is not simply a political and economic oppression. It is far more comprehensive and therefore more intolerable than a tyranny of the normal sort, because it is based on a fundamental philosophy, a particular conception of human nature and the objects of society. It desires to impose on men particular doctrines and is not content with their obedience to governmental and economic regulations. The entire man must be embraced and occupied by Bolshevism. In future, there must be no contrast between the individual and society, for the life of the individual must belong completely to society, which is regarded as the goal of history. That alone which promotes this development has any longer the right to exist. This produces an oppression of unparalleled magnitude. All intellectual life that does not serve Bolshevik aims must be annihilated. Intellectual freedom and independence must yield to the dogmas of the Bolshevik creed. Religion must disappear, and scientific research be exclusively directed to results which are in harmony with the doctrines of dialectical materialism, and above all, serve the Bolshevik rule. In the bourgeois society, the church can still carry on her work, although in practice increasingly losing her influence over public life and, at best, recognized as a moral force within the community. Nevertheless, she can be active and preach her doctrines. This is true even of a state with such extremely anti-clerical laws as France. In the bourgeois society and its state, the church can make her voice heard. Even the anti-clerical state does not venture to promote atheism by the use of violence and the annexation of publicity in the hope of thus killing religion. However, anti-clerical its profession, it dare not carry out them consistently. This tolerance and regard for tradition are alien to Bolshevism. It possesses a very definite philosophy of history, to which fulfillment its state and economic experiments must minister. This philosophy finds the goal of humanity in the self-sufficient society. Bolshevism is thus essentially and wholeheartedly intolerant of Christianity and the church. It cannot, therefore, allow the church to work freely within its society and state. In this respect, its attitude is far more logical than that of the bourgeois state. End of quote.